Well, good morning, Times Square Church Summit Campus. It's good to see you today. Some new faces, and I look forward to get to know you. And it's amazing what God is going to do this year in this church, in this community. I believe with all my heart. I sensed this before New Year's, during New Year's, after New Year's, until now, that God is going to be doing something in our community especially. We've been praying for years for our community, for our neighbors, for Grandville, Lebanon, Harrisburg, Hershey, from Middletown, from all the areas around our church here. And I believe that God is going to reach to people. We can only do so much, but the Holy Spirit is going to do so much more because He does not have borders. The Holy Spirit does not have walls. The Holy Spirit does not have doors. But the Holy Spirit can reach to the innermost, to the broken homes, to those families that are in need, and bring comfort and hope. Amen? Today I would like to share from the Word of God, and it's something that it's really personal to me, I guess. And the title of my message today would be, Right Thinking Will Win the Battle Against Worry. Right thinking will win the battle against worry. I think that I took after my own mom. She worries about everything, and I can't blame her. She had 12 boys in the home and one girl, and she had to worry, you know. One mom, one dad, that's really important too. But we created a situation in the house that, you know how it is with boys. I have friends of mine here that come to church, and they have 3 boys, and I bet you probably understand what I'm talking about. Boys are boys. And they can't wait for parents to leave home so they can do what they want. And then parents will come home and find destruction. And all of a sudden, it's a worry. Or boys sometimes will want to experience things. They will climb on heights and climb on trees, climb on second floors. And I remember when I was about probably, 9, 10 years old, I climbed on the top of my garage. I put a board. Our parents took a trip to Germany, and they brought rollerblades. And I mean, what are you going to do with the rollerblades on the rocks, right? So we tried to be creative. So we took a board, right, about 12 inches wide, and I mean, parents were not home, okay? And I put the board on the top of the garage, and we climbed on the top of the garage, and then we just went down. And it was so much fun. Now, my daughter climbs on a chair, and I'm afraid, right? We worry about everything. And as little kids, or as we grow up, we do things that we think that we can obtain, we can reach the heights, and there is nothing can stop us. And as parents, we worry. And then they grow up, and then they worry about parents, right? This is how life is. But I began to worry about something really personal to me. And a few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to travel with Pastor Carter to the other coast, to Seattle, California, Oregon. And there's something that had been in my heart. Somebody sent a message with a video of the facial recognition intelligence. And I don't know if you've heard or not, but it's really prominent in China. And I also heard that some European countries are considering to actually take this information. And it's crazy. If you don't know, it's good. But when I've heard this information, it got me worried. Not for myself necessarily, but for my kids. It got me thinking what day we live in and what is going to be in our near future. And I began to worry. I was in a hotel, and I was worrying so much that it even led me to prayer and tears. Because in that worriness, I began to also be afraid. In the circumstances, when I saw that video, and if I can share a little bit what that facial recognition intelligence is, it's basically, it's a technology that the purpose of that to control the population. And you know how we have credit score on your card, on a credit card? And if you have a bad credit score, you can't buy a house, you can't do this, you can't do that. And it's only limited things you can do. It's basically the same idea comes with the facial recognition. So no longer you have to go and do fingerprints and all this stuff. But they came up with a crazy technology that it can actually get or know you through your eyes and through your facial recognition. It doesn't matter how much you can hide or how much you can grow a beard or shave. It's basically, it's through your eyes. And it keeps a credit score. So if you behave, if they tell you that Christianity, it's a hate religion, and you end up associating with Christian people, in your background or in your foil, in your portfolio, is going to be a check. It's a negative check. And when you kind of lose your points, then you can't go certain places, you can't fly, you can't visit certain people, you can't even leave certain areas. And I'm afraid that it's actually before our eyes, the book of Revelation, that it's calling us that you're not going to be able to buy things, sell things, and do things, right? But we're moving into that direction. And I saw that video, how crazy that is. I mean, you can't even get on a bus if you're with some points in your background that they do not approve. Basically, the government has control what you can do and what you can't do. And if you become rebellion against that, you become pinned in and controlled. And I got a little bit, you know, worried. Not a little bit, I think a lot. I began to worry a lot. And the worries became about our children and our families. And I know that I come from a background of a family that has been to persecution. My grandfather was in prison twice for persecution, for faith, believing in Christ. And all what he had to do not to go to prison and in a hard labor camps, he had to denounce Christ and live his life. And he said, I can't do that. And he was in his 20s. And I wonder today, in our 20s, in our millennial generation, right? God forbid something comes. How many of us will stand and be ready to go to death because our conviction and the word of God is calling us to live a higher calling? And I began to just think about my kids, and I'm telling you, just such awareness came into my heart and my life. And then we just were praying with Pastor Carl, and I actually shared with him. I was like, you know what, this is what I, you know, somebody sent a video, and this is what is going on. And the next few years, they're actually trying to do this in the United States. It's a little harder right now, but it might be around the corner. And I began to share how worried I am and how afraid I am for my family, my kids, if this goes on. And you know what he said? He says with a big smile, and he just told me, I'm not afraid at all. I'm not worried at all. If I begin to live this gospel and live the joy of the Lord can be our strength, and just all what I have to do to our kids and to my kids and to my grandkids, it's not to translate to them worthiness, but actually to show them how great our God is. And to be able to live this life in Christ and to tell them good things about God, to tell them how God is faithful, how He loves us, to tell them how God is not gonna let you down. That even in the midst of circumstances, of difficulties, God is gonna be faithful. And such a hope arose into me. And actually, he shared the scripture with me, and I'm gonna share today with all of us. And if you're here today that you're worried about different things in your life, it could be kids, it could be marriage, it could be neighbors, it could be family, it could be anything, it could be a job, or it could be firing, it could be anything, but it's a worriness that comes and it paralyzes us. And the right thinking has to happen in our lives if we want to win the battle against worriness. It all begins in our thinking. And it's so important for us to think how the Bible calls us to think. Amen? You know, the Apostle Paul says to the Philippians, he encourages people to actually meditate upon the Word of God. And sometimes in our generation, when we say meditate, it's kind of like we're thinking about, you know, I'm not talking about that kind of meditation, all right? I'm against that kind of meditation, you know? But the Greek translation, it says, the word meditation in this scripture, it says it's actually to ponder, to consider, in different words, when you read the word of God, consider this. Consider. To value the truth that is coming through the word of God. And also to give proper weight to. To give proper weight to. And I love the word ponder because, you know, Mary pondered in her heart when she conceived and she was holding the Son of God in her womb. She began to ponder. It's so important to ponder upon things, to think about things, about the promises and the truth of God. I don't think Mary was just pondering upon, you know, what is going to happen, but I think she was pondering about the promise. The angel came and gave her a promise. And this promise was being fulfilled in her life. And she was just pondering upon how that can be. And so often we are called to ponder, to think, and to guide in our hearts the word of the Lord Jesus Christ and his promises. And I would like
all of us, if you have the Bible or electronic devices, if you can turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, it says this: Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And in the light of what I'm just talking about, and in the light of worriness and being afraid, and the Apostle Paul is saying rejoice. Rejoice. And he's not just saying rejoice in the things that you obtain, but he says our joy has to be in the Lord. He says rejoice in the Lord, and not just one day or Sunday, but he says always. It doesn't say that depends on the circumstances you face in your life. You kind of rejoice and you choose to rejoice or not. But he says that there is always joy in the Lord. And this is what we have to let our kids know, our grandkids know, to find rejoicing and finding joy in the Lord. Because the circumstances around us sometimes will be anything but rejoicing. Will be everything destruction, anything but being joyful in the Lord. But he says, in the Lord rejoice always. And verse 5 says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. In different words, Apostle Paul is calling Christians to be gentle. In a generation when things are going crazy, in a generation when it just people will rise against other people, families against families, and destruction might happen around us. Hate will rise. And Apostle Paul is calling Christians to be gentle one with another. And the Bible says that the gentleness of the Lord made us great. And this gentleness that it made us great in the Lord, God is calling me and you to be gentle one to another and to be kind one to another, to love one another. And through this, the world will know that we are His disciples. Being gentle one with another. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing. You're right. Right? How is it possible, Apostle Paul? You tell us, how is it possible to be anxious about nothing? When I wake up in the morning and I don't know what I'm going to put on my table for my family, for my kids. When I wake up in the morning and I don't know how to encourage my spouse. When things are difficult, when things are seems like are falling apart, how is it not to be anxious? But see, the right thinking will win the battle against worriness, against anxiety. And here, I read a few notes and it says that 40% of the things people worry about never happen. Can you imagine? 40% of the things that me and you worry about, they will never actually happen in life. 30% of our worries are related to our past matters, which are now beyond our control. So often, you know, we've been through things. Some are good and some are not so good. And we worry about those things, but we actually don't have no control upon those things. But we worry. It's 30% actually in our life. It says that 12% of our worriness has to do with our health, even when we are not actually ill. That's crazy, right? 12%, can you imagine? Us being here, statistically say 12% of us being healthy, everything is good, you know, you look in the mirror, I gotta lose weight, something's wrong with me, I gotta do this, you know, something is pinching me or I slept maybe wrong, all of a sudden there is a terminal illness. So we worry about all these things, right? And he says that 12% of population worry about things concerning their health when they're perfectly fine. But it all begins in your mind, right? It all begins, the battles in our mind, how we perceive things and how we do things. So if we do in our own strength and we do in our own ways, not through the Word of God, because when we look through the Word of God, even though there is health or sickness, God is the same. God is the same, and there comes such an anchor in Him and comfort to know that. 10% of our worries are about friends and neighbors and are not based on evidence or facts. I'm guilty of that. You know, the neighbor did something, you're all of a sudden worrying, what are they going to do tonight, you know? Or maybe your neighbors are angels, I don't know. Right? But this is how we worry about our neighbors. And actually, there is no facts, there is nothing to it. We just look through the window and something was suspicious to us and we began to worry. And actually, 10% of people, every day of their lives, they worry about their neighbors. When their neighbors have no idea that their neighbors, the other neighbors, are worrying about them. So in conclusion, I want to say this, that only 8% of our worries have some basis and reality.
which means that over 90% of the things that we worry has nothing to do with actually what is going on. Wow, that's crazy, right? That is actually crazy, that over 90% we worry about things in our life that has nothing to do actually in reality in our life. The Bible is calling us to trust in the Lord, trusting in Him. And know, God knows our worries. God knows what we're going through. God knows everything, and He's calling us to trust Him. So here in Philippians, it says, be anxious for nothing. I think Apostle Paul knew that people are going to worry in the 21st century over 90% about nothing, right? And he says, actually, be anxious about nothing. But in everything, by prayer. I think that a lot of worries that comes into our life is maybe the lack of prayer. But he says, be anxious about nothing, but by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In different words, Apostle Paul is not saying, you know, don't just be weird, don't be fake, but be real with God because He knows you. He knows every detail of your life. Your hair is counted. Even the one that we don't have are missing, right? It's counted. He knows. And he says, but in prayer, actually, during prayer, let your Father know what you're worried about. Let Him know what you're going through. In different words, be open with Him. Don't just contain everything in yourself, but let Him know. But through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God is a result. See, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. In a different translation, it says, that surpasses all thinking. The peace of God will surpass all our thinking of worthiness. It will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In different words, you see, our minds and our hearts needs to be guarded. Needs to be guarded. And when we come to our Lord in prayer, the Bible says that He will guard our mind and our heart. In the evil days that we live in, the future that can bring, the unknowns that we can, probably unthinkable unknowns that can come against us, when we are anchored in Christ, and when we begin to think the way Bible is calling us to think, we will be victorious. There will be nothing in this world that can keep us down or break us. It can bruise us. It can seem like it's getting to us. But when we come to our Lord and Savior and trusting Him, and with our thanksgiving, with our supplication, with letting our needs known to Him, letting our worries known to Him, He will protect our minds, and He will protect our hearts. And here it says in verse 8, Apostle Paul is saying, finally, brother, kind of like the last words before Apostle Paul probably leaves, you know, he says, finally. And there's five things that Apostle Paul is actually letting this Christian believers know to be mindful of and always to remember. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, see, in our mind, we have to think, whatever things are true. So often we worry about things because somebody looked at us undifferently. He did not shake my hand. Oh, he kind of passed me. There was nothing to it, maybe. Maybe some people just were busy, you know. But in our mind, we think stories, and we start believing in those stories. And this is where the danger is. And Apostle Paul, he says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. In different words, ponder about these things. Think about these things. If anything of virtue in our life as Christians, if we begin to think this way, if we will change our thinking and begin to ponder about the truths of the Lord, our life is going to go further than we can ever imagine. Instead of lies, think truth. Instead of unjust things and trying to bring justice in this world in your own strength, think of the just God and how He will judge the world in the end days. Leave it up to Him But me and you choose to walk in truth. Me and you choose to walk in love. Me and you choose to walk in unity. Amen? We're to be lovely. We're to think about pure things. We're to think about good reports. We're to think about those things and meditate day and night upon those things. Amen? Actually, if we can stop here before we go down and open up to Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 says this, "Blessed is the man who walks not in accordance of the ungodly, in the counsels of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does or she does shall prosper." You see, it does not say only about good seasons, but in a proper season, in every season, God can cause us to bring fruit for his glory. And over here he says that blessed is he who finds himself not in the places that bring dishonor to the Lord, but in the places that honor him. And he said, but in his delight, it is the law of the Lord. In different words, is us being Christians, our delight is to be in the law of the Lord, in the Bible, in the promises of God, being reminded of the promises of God. And then we meditate day and night. We meditate day and night. It's not like we have nothing else to do but just think about how do we do this? Just think about the Lord the whole time, about the Bible, his promises. No, it's honoring him in whatever what we do. God, help me here. You have a challenge. What is your promises? What is your word saying? God, help me to just do what you've called me to do by your grace, by your strength, because I can't do it in my own. Amen? And verse 9 in the book of Philippians chapter 4 says this, the things which you learned. You see, there's also three things here that Apostle Paul is actually reminding the Christians among the five things that actually he told them and reminded them to ponder upon. And now he says, meditate upon these things, the things which you've learned and received and heard. You see, there are three things actually. The things that you've learned, where do we learn? We learn in places like this, in the fellowship when we gather together. So the things that you actually and me are learning today, we actually are to take that with ourselves. Not to leave them at church, but to take them with ourselves. And not only learning, but also receiving, because we can learn things for other people. But Apostle Paul says, no, you'll learn, but also receive it for yourself. And the third thing, actually, you've heard. You've heard the truths. You've heard the promises of God. In the time of difficulty, in the time of struggle, you've heard who God is. Hold dear to those things that you have heard, that you have learned, that you have seen, and receive them into your heart, into your life. Because they might seem so far away, the promises of the Lord, and the answer to your prayer might seem so far away, but they are around the corner because God has a time for everything. God knows everything. And he loves us so much. And this is Apostle Paul is saying, your circumstances might seem so much different, but the promises of God are true. And if me and you can learn to hold to the promises of God, we will finish this race strong. And it doesn't matter what circumstances we'll face in this country or in our life. It doesn't matter what circumstances our children might face. If we leave with them this truth, if we leave with them the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, they will make it. But we have to live it out first as parents, as grandparents. Amen? And also Apostle Paul here is finishing it saying, as you saw in me, this do. He's not just saying to them theology. Apostle Paul is not just encouraging the church and the brothers and sisters there in the Philippians. He's not just telling them stories. But he's encouraging them of the promises of God, reminding them, but also he's saying, as you saw me do these things, as you saw me live it out, what I'm telling you. My brother, my sister, it's not just enough in the day of age we live in just to tell people how to live, but we are called to live it out, and when we have the opportunity also to tell and to share the story of Jesus. Amen? And what is the result when we do all these things, when we meditate upon the Word of God, when we learn, when we receive the Word, and when we hear it, and also walk in it, what is the result of this? It says, the God of peace will be with you. I love this word. The God of peace will be with you and with me. When we do these things and when we ponder upon the Word of God, when we begin to be acquainted with God's truth, when we begin to think not things that are damaging us and others, but the things that are noble, whatever things that are just, whatever things that are pure, whatever things that are lovely, and whatever things are of good report. If we change our thinking and go on these five principles that Apostle Paul is calling me and you to live by, we will learn to meditate upon his word. We will ponder upon our hearts this word. We will also receive this word, because it's not going to be a burden to us, but it's going to be actually a liberation. And also we will hear this word, and we will walk this word. Amen. It doesn't matter the circumstances that we face in life. Sometimes it could be hard and could be tough. Sometimes it could be really challenging, the circumstances that we might face. And you might say, Pastor Paul, you have no idea what I'm going through. And I don't. But I want to tell you something that Jesus Christ does know. And it's more important for him to know than actually for me. It's actually more important for Jesus to know everything than a pastor. I'm not saying that it's insignificant for a pastor to know the circumstances you are going through. We are there to help. We are there to counsel, to guide. But only Jesus can help. The right thinking will win the battles against worriness. What are you and me worried about today? Can we bring that to him and say, God, through thanksgiving, I want to make my request known to you now. That I'm worried about things in my life that I don't have control often. And because I do not have control, I worry. I worry about my kids. I worry about my future. I worry about my family. I worry about my spouse. I worry about the circumstances I face that I'm so helpless to actually go through. I'm worried about things in life that actually don't really matter, it seems like, but they have an effect on me. It paralyzes me to move forward. It actually doesn't give me strength to wake up in the morning and go to work and do my thing. This worry is that I'm dealing with, and this worry is that it's in my heart, in my life. I can't get a hold of it. Can you help me, Jesus? Can you help me, Jesus? And as I invite the worship team to come, we're just going to sing a song. And if this is you, come join me here. Because our awareness will produce actually nothing. Nothing. It will only pull us back actually from moving forward. But when we come to God and we renew our mind through his power of the word, he will take care of us. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says that if Jesus, being the Son of God, he takes care of the birds that fly, right? The cute ones and the ugly ones, right?
The vultures and everything.
The ones that we love and the ones we want to just get rid of it. The ones that we adore and the ones that bring bad news to us sometimes. He said he takes care of them. But then he doesn't end it. He said, but how much more? How much more he cares for me and for you as the children of the Almighty God? You know, there's a song that I love. It says, don't you ever worry. Don't you ever be afraid. Joy comes in the morning. Amen? Joy comes in the morning. A rain might come, but a rainbow comes right after that. A evening might come and the night might come, but their light is coming around the corner. The light of Jesus Christ, let it shine into your circumstances, your situation. Don't you worry. God has you. He's our rock. He is our refuge. He is our refuge. Am I and you fall under the percentage of 90% of the things that we worry that never actually happened or will happen? Only 8%, right? Let's learn to run to Jesus Christ and say, God, have your way. Have your way. Have your way. And lift this burden off of me. I don't want to worry about this anymore. I don't want to worry. I want to live by your promises, by five principles that the Apostle Paul gave. I want to hear your word. I want to ponder upon your word. I want to receive your promises. And I want to think always. I want to ponder. I want to meditate upon the things that are noble, that are true, that are of good report. And when we begin to think the way the Bible calls us to think, oh my goodness, we will be unstoppable. We will be unstoppable. We will be unstoppable. Because when God is for us, nobody can be against us. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. What a joyful day to be alive. What a joyful journey God has brought us through. You are chosen by God to live in this generation. Sometimes you wish you can live in the days of Jesus, but God allowed you to live in the days of the 21st century. And He has a plan for you and for me. And He will not leave me and you behind. We're not a mistake. You're not a mistake. You were born for a purpose. And God is going to help you to fulfill the purpose He has called me and you to do. And we will finish this race strong. He did not call me and you to be strong on our own. But He's looked for weak vessels, for broken vessels that He can heal, that He can find people that can be dependent upon Him. And through the storm and through the fire, even though we're going to go through difficulties or through challenges in our life, our kids might go through things, but when we turn to Jesus Christ and we put our hope in Him, we will finish. Because God is with us. God is with us. And when we begin to think that way and tell our kids that way, that no matter what you struggle, no matter what you're going through, God is stronger. He is with us. All these things are just short circumstances in our life, but He has the last word. He has the last word. And this will lift us up and this will encourage us because He loves us. Amen? Amen? I just give Him a shout of praise because He's worthy. He is our God. Hallelujah. Stand with me, please. And if this word spoke to you and if you worry about things that did not happen, will never happen, but maybe you worry about things that actually, it's really concerning and you're really afraid of some of the things, come to Thee. Come to Him. You who are heavy burden. You who have labored so hard. You who worry about things so much, come to Him. And the Bible says, He will give you, help me out.
Rest.
He will give you?
Rest.
One translation might say peace. I love this translation. It says He will give you rest. Amen?
Amen.
Come to Him and He will give you rest. Join me here if this word spoke to you. We're going to be praying in a moment.